So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
I have fantastic news for you, and the news is that we are officially in the Advent season. It is my favorite liturgical season of the year, so what a joy to be joining you during our weekly happy hour here on Trending, and we're going to unpack so much surrounding the Advent season. I started 3 weeks early, getting you ready for Advent, working ourselves up in the direction of Advent, and now we're here. And I hope that you've been with me, that you've prepared, that you've planned what you're going to do, whether reading or what sort of symbols you're bringing into your house for this Advent. If not, that's okay. It's never too late. It's just like Lent. Some people think, okay, it's a week or it's 2 weeks into Lent. I never chose something to give up, or I've been screwing up. And so you kind of just give up. No need to do that. I think that's the beauty. That is the beauty of our Catholic faith, that our Lord is so merciful, and what matters is that we do choose to follow Him, no matter the time that we do. And we're called to a complete conversion and union with Him in this season of Advent. It's a season of anticipation, preparation for the coming of our Lord, the celebration, the commemoration of Christmas, and the coming of Christ at Christmas, but also the coming of Christ at the end times, at our particular judgment when we die. But also, I always like to add in this idea that it's fourfold, not just twofold, because you'll hear about how it's about Christmas and celebrating Christmas and how it's about the end times and the second coming. But it's also about preparing to receive our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Anytime you receive Him in the Eucharist, that could be daily, that could be every Sunday. Could also be as well our particular judgment when we die, when we meet Christ and we face that judgment. And so this Advent season, although it's a time that's surrounded commercially by decorating Christmas trees, which can tie greatly into our Catholic faith, and putting up lights and going Christmas shopping, or maybe you're panicking about all of the shortages and the supply ships that are waiting on the coasts in California and other places in the ocean. And there's so much going on that it's so easy to be swept away and distracted. And so today and through the next coming weeks, the next 4 weeks, the church has set aside these 4 weeks for us to prepare for Christ at Christmas. Now, when the church sets aside a particular liturgical season, we should listen. We should pay attention. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. I'm Timory. And before we jump into Advent just yet, so I hosted my first Thanksgiving ever. You know, I've always been there helping with all of the cooking with my mom. So I knew how to make the turkey. I just needed the play-by-play still. Like, I've done it there with directions, working side by side. I always got out of having to, like, stick my hand in anything with my mom. It was more so like, okay, here are the spices. Let's get all the oil or the butter. Okay, so I had a real rookie mistake when it came to Thanksgiving, and it was my turkey. So here's the deal. Here is the deal, you guys. And if you're just joining us, we're going to unpack everything from the Advent wreath, what the first candle in the Advent wreath means. I feel like we just let that symbol be there and then, like, ignore it. We don't even know what those four candles represent. We're going to unpack the theme of hope during Advent. We're going to talk about symbols. We're going to talk about taking a time of retreat and really taking time to set aside time. We're also going to talk about why everyone's so busy in our culture today. So welcome to our weekly happy hour here on Trending. So here's my rookie mistake I made in hosting my first Thanksgiving. We had a small gathering of us here at my house. Now, here's what happened. So I was like, okay, I'm hosting. I need to get a turkey. I was on it. About a month in advance, I ordered my turkey. We were having about 6 adults, 2 kids. One of them's a baby. Kids don't eat that much. But, you know, I'm panicking because everyone's talking about the meat shortages. You need to get your turkey. I couldn't host Thanksgiving without a turkey. Well, I made sure I got my turkey. I ordered a 30 to 50 pound turkey. Hello, just so you know, are you listening? I have 8 people and 2 of them include children. I don't know what I was thinking. So I ordered this 30 to 50 pound turkey, not knowing that I ordered a ginormous turkey that might not even fit in my oven, in case you were wondering. And so all of a sudden, like 6 days before Thanksgiving, because I do like this online meat program where everything's delivered to my house. I don't have to worry about it. A real bougie, right? You know, people laugh at your particular meats. Well, that's what we do. So anyways, I order this turkey and I happened to that day just look at the order summary. I never do. And I looked at the order summary when they said, hey, your turkey's shipping tomorrow or your meat shipping tomorrow. And I'm looking through all the lists of the meats and the turkey's on there. And it says that I got a 13 to 18 pound turkey. And I went, oh, no. I ordered a 30 to 50 pound turkey. I have a house full of people coming. I'm celebrating Thanksgiving. I cannot have a small turkey. It's not going to feed everyone. I'm panicking. And so I'm busy and I can't go to the store for the next day or two, but I'm calling around. I know where I can still get a turkey. While I'm also calling the company going like, hey, can you send two small turkeys? I need a big turkey. I've got a bunch of people. And then finally the next day I'm getting ready to rush to the store to go and get like a handful of one of the turkeys that are left. And it's still the week before. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe I should just Google how many pounds of meat you need per person for a turkey. Like, how much do you need? Well, I only needed about a 12-pound turkey, if that. And I had ordered a 30 to 50-pound turkey. Now, praise the Lord, per the substitution policy for the company, when they run out of the larger turkeys, apparently they substitute the next best thing. They didn't tell me. It just happened to be on my order slip, and I noticed. But you guys, I almost had a 30 to 50-pound turkey. I'm still eating leftovers, and we've been eating them 1 to 2 times a day. I cannot even imagine had I gotten a 30 to 50-pound turkey. Anyways, that was my rookie mistake that actually ended up being a Thanksgiving miracle, or else we'd still be eating turkey over here. Well, we are. How long do you like to eat leftovers? I love not having to cook for days. I think I like leftovers more than I like the actual meal itself, personally. That's just me. Okay, you're listening to Trending with Tim Marie here on our weekly happy hour on Relevant Radio, and I saw this Instagram video by this actor Brandon Smith on Instagram, and he puts all kinds of funny little short videos together. I've seen a couple of them, and he did one on American busy culture, and you need to listen to this because I think this is a stereotypical when you ask someone, hey, how are you doing? And maybe this has been you. This has been me, although I may not have listed the things in this, but this was the little skit he put together, Brandon Smith on Americans busy culture.
So how's it going? I'm so busy. I'm even busier. I'm actually the busiest. Between the new business I started, the current business that I have, and my passion project, I guess you could say I'm pretty busy. Yeah, I guess between working out with a personal trainer, starting my new YouTube channel, and grocery shopping for my vegan diet, I guess this is the busiest I've ever been in my entire life. I'm actually starting my own winery, which keeps me pretty busy. I'm super busy writing my memoir. I've been rescuing dogs. I'm saving the ocean. I'm having a baby. I'm having twins. Twins? Sounds like you're pretty busy then. Swamped.
Okay, if you were listening to that, that was Brandon Smith on Instagram, an audio put together of America's busy culture. He's going on and on about, oh, how are you? And you know when a person responds busy, I love it how if you respond busy, the other person always has to make it sound like they're busier or vice versa. Like, oh, I'm busy too. And it's so funny because here the person is, like they're giving the example, oh, I'm working on my passion project, my vegan diet, making my food, my memoir, my YouTube channel, my new business, still working my existing business. And it was really fascinating watching all the comments on this Instagram short little video by Brandon Smith about American busy culture. One thing is a bunch of Australians commented on the video commenting saying it's in Australia too and it's been here the last couple of years. But the comments were rather telling. A lot of people were frustrated with this whole response. You ask someone why, how they're doing, and it's as if the first thing we need to tell people is, I'm so busy, I don't have time for anything, I'm so busy, I'm so important, I'm so busy, I'm a doer, I'm a go-getter, and it's like boom, boom, boom. And I think that this is part of our progressive culture when it comes to like we always have to have progress occurring in our lives. I also think this is a product of our social media culture where we're stressed out because we're experiencing task saturation all day, every day. And some people like to claim that they aren't experiencing task saturation. I'm sorry, that's a lie. If you were one of those people saying you don't experience task saturation, tell me, do you ever sit on your phone and try to Google something or check an email and all of a sudden a notification comes on your screen for a text message and you tap it? That is task saturation. That is task distraction. Let's be honest with ourselves. We are distracted and taking longer to get things done than we really should. This, I believe, is part of the reason why we are so busy. But that's not at the heart of why we're always busy as a culture. I think this Brandon Smith Instagram funny video that we just played is a sign of something much, much deeper. Yes, we're stressed out because it's taking us longer to get things done. We're distracted. There's a lot going on, but I think at the heart of it, what's happening, and I'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a comment here. The number is 1-888-914-9149, or you can join us live on Instagram and ask your question now, share, let people know that you're listening. Here's the deal. This is why I think we have a problem with everyone always saying they're so busy. I think we're perpetually trying to prove ourselves. Now, that's not really a novel thought, but what I do believe is that we're constantly trying to prove that we're lovable, that we're worth something, that people should see us and not just see right through us. The people should understand I'm valuable and you should value what I am. I think a lot of us are running around trying to show people, here I am, love me, look at everything I am doing. And I'm not just saying this from a selfish perspective of, oh, hey, I'm so great, look at all I'm doing. I think deeper down inside, cutting even deeper than the pride that is indeed occurring with our busy culture, is this question, have I done enough for you to love me enough? Have I done enough for you to love me at all? Have I done enough for ultimately God to love me? Have I done enough to be affirmed the way I so deeply long to be affirmed? I recently heard a talk by a priest who was discussing this idea between men and women. And he was talking about how in this time of Advent, we often think about darkness and light. We have the candles on the Advent wreath, and they're supposed to represent the contrast between the light and the darkness. We're going to talk about light and darkness and many symbols in Advent a little later on during trending and kind of dive into some of the things that we can do to help us be in the season of preparation, truly take a retreat this season. But one of the things that Father was commenting on when talking about the darkness and the light and how we need to turn to the light of the world, and that is Christ, how the darkness that we're talking about, that Christ came to bring the light to the light into, was sin, our sin. And he talked about how predominantly believed that for men, the sin that men predominantly struggle with is pride, and how predominantly women struggle with this failure to be appreciated. Or to appreciate themselves. It's not that other people aren't appreciating them. It's that they fail to appreciate and see how valuable they truly are. And so you're always trying to prove something and get something done. And it's kind of cut to the heart of, I think, this always busy culture. We're here trying to say, am I lovable? Have I proved my worth yet? And I heard this compared to the story that we hear time and time again, but it was a different take. Of Martha and Mary. We know the three siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus from sacred scripture. Jesus Christ raised their brother Lazarus. Mary, from the Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, you may not know this, tradition holds, is actually Mary Magdalene. Now, you know the story of Mary and Martha when Jesus is invited to Martha's house. And there Mary and Martha are, and Martha is busily serving Jesus and the disciples. And Mary doesn't help her. She sits down at the feet of Jesus and just listens. Quote, just listens. And Martha ends up criticizing Mary and actually basically telling Jesus, like, hey, look, my sister's not even helping me to do all of this. I'm having to do it all alone. And Jesus tells Martha that Mary has chosen the better place. I think that this busy culture that we live in, why we're always busy and we're always having to tell other people we're busy, is a slight look into the story of Martha and Mary. That Martha was being busy. Now, there's nothing wrong with serving people and taking care of them or ordering too big of a turkey, whatever it might be, or providing a nice meal, keeping things clean. But there is something when we think that our worth, our lovability, our desirability, our beauty is based on constantly having to do something and never stopping. Look, I washed the dishes. Look, I cleaned the car. Look, I took out the trash. All of these are great things, but those things shouldn't make us or create what makes us lovable. And I think that that's what's so important when we're looking at this busy culture we live in, where we're always working on something. I loved the comment in the Brandon Smith Instagram audio that I just played for you. And I'll have to post it. Lucas, maybe you can post that to my Instagram story as well. We have to post that, and maybe Twitter. We'll get that up there if you missed it. Because even when it's listening, like, okay, and now I'm starting a YouTube channel. And now I'm working on my passion project. I'm also starting up my second company. I'm writing my memoirs. I'm working on my latest vegan diet. I mean, all of these things. And none of these things are bad in and of themselves. But what does become bad is when we turn to a point where we can never stop. We can never take a moment and be at peace and see, like, that's okay if I'm sitting here for a moment doing nothing. That I'm still lovable. That I can still be appreciated, and I can still appreciate myself and see the value in myself. I think that this is what cuts to the heart of the busy culture we live in. And so it's encouragement for myself to stop always being a part of that. When someone asks, how are you? And you say, busy. You may be busy. And if that's what you really need to say, maybe say, I'm busy and I'm exhausted from it. Not I'm busy for the sake of other people appreciating us. Not busy for the sake of me feeling good about me constantly doing things. At the heart of it, we need to understand, and I think that this is what Advent helps us to do, the importance of seeing value in so much more than ourselves and our productivity. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. I want to come back in just a minute here and dive into how Advent is a time of retreat. Understand what each of the Advent candles are. We're starting this first week of Advent. What's the theme for this first week of Advent? We're going to unpack all of this here on Trending today. So don't go away if you'd like. In the meantime, you can share your comments or give us a call. Just go ahead and find me on social media at Timory. That's TimmerIe. We'll be right back. Also, call us 1-888-914-9149. Diving into and unpacking Advent on our second day of Advent. Today's programming is brought to you by St. Gregory Recovery Center in Iowa. More information about their faith-centered addiction treatment is available at relevantradio.com/stgregory.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Happy Advent. It is my favorite liturgical season. If you didn't know that yet, I've been talking about for 3 weeks getting ready. If you have a question during the show, go ahead and give me a call. The number is 1-888-914-9149. Or you can ask your question live now on Instagram. Julius just asked on Instagram, what devotion do you use for prayers, etc.? Great question. We will actually post a link now, if you don't mind, Lucas, to the Advent, Preparing for Advent podcast that we did. And I have a list to list in the show notes for a couple of books that I really love. One of them that I highly recommend for books this time of year is St. Alphonsus Liguori's, two of them. One is the Infancy. Is it Infancy Narrative? Something like that. The name literally just escaped my head. I know Lucas is going to give me. But it's really good because it's actually a reflection for each day of Advent and of Christmas. And it's fantastic. It's like a real kick in the pants. It's so funny because I remember thinking, like, oh, we're going to meditate upon the incarnation. It'll be so sweet and so lovely. No, it is this deep recognition of the significance of God becoming man, but becoming an infant as well, and how this endears us to him. Very, very profound. It goes through everything about, from talking about St. Christopher and some of the other saints. So St. Alphonsus Liguori's work, a fantastic book. Another one by St. Alphonsus Liguori is Preparation for Death. We'll include a link in social media and in the show notes for today as well. But in general, what devotions do I use for prayer? I actually pray the Liturgy of the Hours that our priests and religious sisters pray, and monks and brothers. You can pray it 7 times a day, or you could pray just morning prayer and evening prayer. But if you look up the Divine Office or Liturgy of the Hours, you can actually purchase the book. It takes a little bit of work to learn how to use the book, but it's doable once you get into the routine. There's some great videos and resources online, or you can also pray on your phone. I am not an advocate for praying on the phone. However, another note, I tend to like, whether it's Lent or Advent, to use a Magnificat. I think it's just a help, extra reminder, and just a little extra to remind yourself, like, make sure you're reading the daily readings that the church has set aside for this liturgical season of Advent. Make sure that you're praying extra prayers and looking at the devotional. So if you have nothing else, the Magnificat this time of year is great, and a lot of parishes actually offer them for free in the back of the church. So that's another great thing, or you can get one at a Catholic bookstore near you. A couple other prayer resources. I love to pray with my Bible. You can even just look up what the Mass readings for today are, write them on a little sticky note. This is what I'll do a lot of the time, and then take that sticky note and find them in scripture. It's a good way to become familiar with piecing through your Bible back and forth and seeing the connections between the Old Testament, the New Testament, the prophecies, and everything that is there to be unpacked. So great question. If you have another question, you can ask live now on Instagram or give me a call. That's 1-888-914-9149. And the name of the Alphonsus Liguori book that has a daily meditation during Advent and for Christmas is The Incarnation, Birth, and Infancy of Jesus Christ. Fantastic, fantastic read. I highly recommend it. They're short, deep, very profound reflections for this time of year. Speaking of resources for prayers, I hope that you're taking seriously this liturgical season. The church has carved out 4 weeks for us in this season of Advent. When the church carves out a season for us, it's important that we listen. The church, Christ, God, from the dawn of history, already carved out Sundays, and we tend to kind of miss the importance of Sundays, the importance of rest, understanding what rest actually is. And we have the liturgical season of Lent, which is something not new in the last 100 or so years, but is newer in the history of the church. We didn't start, boom, at the beginning inception of the church with the seasons of Lent and Advent. But over time, the church has developed these seasons of Lent and Advent, one, to prepare us for the death and passion of God, of Jesus, and the other to prepare us for the incarnation and the ultimate birth of Jesus Christ. And the church carves out special holy days throughout the year, turning our focus to particular events in doctrine in the life of the church. For example, one of them is coming up, a holy day of obligation, December 8th. The feast, the solemnity. Now, a feast and a solemnity are different in the respect that a solemnity is even more important than a feast day. It's one of the highest events of the year. And we have the solemnity of what? The Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, December 8th, right smack in the beginning, first couple weeks of Advent. Very significant for us to ponder as well. And so as we're looking at this Advent time of retreat, this is what we should be looking at, what the church is offering us in the season of Advent. Now, not everyone's going to be able to go and take a 3-day weekend retreat during Advent. Even though that's a great thing, I highly recommend it. I used to take an Advent retreat every single year. I've not been able to the last couple of years, but it's something I highly recommend. And it's part of what developed this love for me of the Advent season. It's like a mini Lent, but it's different. In Lent, we engage in prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. During Advent, it's a time of preparation and penance to meet our Lord. So I think that this gets to the heart of the question. This is our weekly happy hour on trending. I started by talking about Americans' busy culture. How whenever you ask someone how they're doing, someone feels like they have to say busy, and then the other person somehow has to have a response that makes them sound even busier. And I talked about how I think at the heart of that isn't just pride or wanting to prove something. It is, in a different way, trying to prove that we're lovable, that we can be appreciated, that we appreciate ourselves. And there's a problem with that. And so I think that this time of retreat, this Advent, is an opportunity for us to cut to the heart of the busy culture, to value ourselves humbly before the Lord, the coming of Christmas. And I think this is why the church offers us so many profound symbols that unfortunately can be lost in the midst of the commercial material side of Christmas preparations. Don't get me wrong, purchasing gifts and the generosity, lighting up our homes both inside and out and decorating them and making sugar cookies and having hot cocoa are important, but that's not all that Christmas is about. In fact, it has nothing to do with Christmas unless it's inspiring charity, generosity, and other virtues within you. So what's at the heart of this liturgical season? Well, as we take this pause for Advent, it's an opportunity for us to retreat from our sin and attach ourselves to Christ, to prepare for that coming, physically in the Eucharist, at the end times, recognizing the celebration of Christ at Christmas, and at our particular judgment when we die. That means we need to root sin out of our lives. This is why penance services are always usually a big part of the liturgical season of Advent. Rooting out our pride, our busybodiness, our workaholism, our jealousy, our anger. All the things that we might struggle with in our own lives. You see, Jesus Christ came to break into the darkness. We read in Genesis chapter 1, as we read kind of this creation, this new creation account by John, we read, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." We read again in John chapter 3, "The light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light." The question for us is, how do we view the light and how do we view the darkness? I'm not talking about some woke ideology, obsession with news or social media or whatever might be distracting us from workaholism to you name it. What I'm talking about is the light of Christ, the transformation of our lives, the coming out of our sin, our own misery, into the light, life, and hope and joy of Jesus Christ. In order for us to see this, it requires that we carve time out of our lives. Just as the church has carved out this liturgical season of Advent, we too must carve out time during these 4 weeks for silence, for prayer, for penance, for the Eucharist. Just as much as we're focusing on purchasing presents and doing this and being generous, none of it means anything if we miss the reason. You know, you hear that saying all the time, the reason for the season. Don't forget the reason for the season. But the church is saying, don't forget. I'm giving you 4 weeks to prepare before Christ coming at Christmas. And this is part of the reason why we have a candle lit Advent. This is why we bring angels and light into our house and even onto our homes. This is why the church itself isn't singing Christmas songs yet, but Advent songs. Advent songs such as, "O Come Divine Messiah." And there are so many beautiful songs. We jump often right into the Christmas music. And don't get me wrong, I shared this year, I did start listening to Christmas music, I think 2 days before Halloween. It is socially acceptable to begin the day after Halloween. For some, it's socially acceptable the day after Thanksgiving. And I don't think there's anything wrong with enjoying Christmas music any time of the year, even if it's early for the season. But what is wrong is if we miss the preparation. I think that's sometimes where we have to kind of cut to the heart of it. And if that means you wait to listen to the true Christmas, Christ-centered songs till Christmas, so be it. But it's not like we stop praying to him or saying his name. So I don't think it's always necessarily necessary. I think it's what will best prepare you for Christ. And there have been many seasons where I have tried to hold off on the true Christ-centered Christmas music till Christmas itself and focus on those Advent hymns. And there's so many beautiful Advent hymns on Spotify and all kinds of places where you can find them. I've been compiling my own list on YouTube, and it's worth the creation of those Advent songs. It's worth turning to the symbols that are in our home. You know, why do we put an angel on the top of our tree or a star? Well, those are things even now during Advent that can lead us to eager anticipation of the coming of Christ. The three wise men followed a star. The stars in heaven, the astrology, all of it aligned, pointing to the coming of the Messiah. The Gentiles even knew that Christ was coming, and they traveled and they asked Herod, "Where is the King of the Jews?" Everything was aligning. All of time and history was eagerly anticipating at the time of Christ. They were expecting the Messiah at that time. And in fact, we're going to talk about this a little bit later here on Trending. But I want to talk about how, for me, Advent the last year has particularly centered around this theme of light and darkness. You know, last year I expected my Advent baby. We had our baby Advent 2020 just 5 days before Christmas. And it was such a joy to be able to go through that Advent season, to go through basically the same exact timing of Our Lady's conception to birth. The whole season was so neat. And one of the things I did was I set up my empty, I have a little manger scene, and, you know, leaving Jesus out, I would set a candle each and every night once it got dark. It would just set the candle before that Advent scene, and it was a reminder for me that what we're waiting for, that we're waiting for Christ, the coming of Christ, that there's an angel often hanging over the Advent scenes in the nativity sets that we have. Why? Because angels bring in, they usher in the life of Christ. They announce the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph at the incarnation itself, that Jesus is here, the Messiah is here. They announce to the shepherds in the fields at the birth of Christ that indeed the child has been born and you will find him in swaddling clothes. Angels surround all of the coming of Christ. And so this is why we top our trees with angels. This is why we see angels over the nativity scene. This is why we have so many angels for ornaments. With the trumpets, they proclaim the coming of Christ. So the symbols are important, but the candles, the light, are so important too. The Advent wreath has been one of those pivotal symbols for the church over the last few hundred years. Why? Well, for one, it provides the opportunity to have candles lit before us, contrasting the light and the darkness, as I mentioned. You know, another verse from John chapter 8, Christ says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The significance of these passages and this contrast of light and darkness are us to see life in Christ with Christ or life without Christ. And this Advent wreath itself symbolizes so much of this, from the circle of the Advent wreath, the circle representing eternity and the unconditional continuous love of Christ. The candles, four candles, four representing the 4 weeks of Advent, but also symbolizing the 4,000 years between Adam and Jesus. Each of these four candles represents something. And this week, our theme for Advent, that first Advent candle, represents hope, which is why in just a couple minutes, we're going to talk about the significance of a hope in our lives during this week. And we're going to ponder hope all week long here on Trending. Now, the green, the evergreen that is placed in the Advent wreath, represents new life. This is why, in fact, Father was just reminding us this weekend at church, you know, don't jump right away into all of the Christmas decorations per se, but focus on green. See the significance of green in your home. That the green represents new life, and Christ is the new life that is coming. I thought that was neat. And I mean, I think this is how we can see our Christmas tree, remembering the green and maybe taking a little longer to decorate our tree. I know, I was kind of thinking that even in our own house, it would be neat to make it a tradition to start buying new plants every Advent season to remind ourselves a new life, of nurturing that new life, of nurturing Christ within our lives. You know, the same way we nurture a plant, we should be nurturing our souls with Christ regularly, of receiving our Lord Jesus Christ, of living in a way, in a accord that makes us worthy of receiving him and living out that life. So how can you bring the Advent wreath into your home? Well, one, make sure you have enough candles, because three purples and one pink are not enough. You need plenty of candles, Advent candles, and light them during every meal together. Maybe make more of an effort to eat your meals together. Know what each of the four Advent candles represent. This week, we're in this theme of hope during Advent. And we're going to come back here on Trending, and we'll discuss what the significance of this week of hope is, how we can ponder hope more and grow in this virtue. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray here on Relevant Radio. If you have a question, number is 1-888-914-9149, or you can join me live on Instagram to ask your question. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory.
My favorite liturgical season. I hope that you take the time to listen to some of the traditional Advent themes. That is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel by the Piano Guys, which, by the way, if you ever have the opportunity to hear the Piano Guys in person, they are phenomenal. They played at a marriage and family event that I went to years ago in Utah, in their hometown, and they love the marriage and family movement, and they were so excited that they played like 3 hours of encore. It was an incredible concert. Incredibly talented cello, pianist, great performers. Well worth it. If you ever have the opportunity, please go and see them. But I want to unpack hope right now. I've been unpacking Advent. If you're just joining us, it's the second day of Advent. It's my favorite liturgical season. And we tend to tolerate the Advent wreath. Like, if you go into church during Advent and you don't see an Advent wreath, and if they don't have the candle lit, let's be honest, you're kind of bummed because it's something new and different. But do you know what the Advent wreath means? Do you know what each of the candles represents and that it gives us a theme for each of the weeks of Advent? Well, they do. And unfortunately, for some reason, these often aren't being explained to us, but I want to talk about them today. So the first candle in the Advent wreath that you'll be lighting all week long, because I know you all have your Advent wreath, so I let you know a couple weeks ago we wanted to pick those out. The first candle represents hope. Now, that first candle is also known as the prophet's candle. And put yourself for just a moment in first century Palestine. There's the Blessed Virgin Mary, there's King Herod, there are the Gentiles, the Jews, the Romans, and we have all these people. This was a time, believe it or not, all of the prophecies and the oracles, even the three wise men who come from the East, everything was lining up. All of salvation history was colliding, all the prophecy, all the oracles, to this moment in history. They knew that it was the time for the Messiah. This is why they weren't taken by surprise by Jesus. They weren't taken by surprise by there being a Messiah. What they were taken by surprise with Jesus Christ was the type of Messiah. They expected a political warrior, someone who was going to fight and conquer land. They weren't quite expecting Christ. But isn't that true for all of us? We think one thing of God and he's so much better and so different than the box we try to place him in. In fact, I did a show recently talking about who and what we think God is and how we need to erase that from our heads and allow God to be himself and not just what we put on him. So let's ponder for just a moment. All of history was lining up. The three wise men come from the East. The stars are aligning. We view them as astrologists. We know that oracles and prophecies were pointing to the time of Christ. We have the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7. What will that sign be? The sign will be a virgin will conceive a son. We have the Blessed Virgin Mary fulfilling this prophecy. We have even the prophecy coming from Numbers 24, which is one of the first five books, the Torah of the Bible, where it talks about an Edomite. How Edom will be disposed, that is, a descendant will be disposed from in the Edomite line. That is, Herod is an Edomite. And so when everything's happening, he's understanding when the three wise men saying that the king of the Jews has been born, we're here to worship him. He knows, because he was a Jew, Numbers 24. He knows sacred scriptures. He knew that the anticipated Messiah was anticipated then and there, right around his lifetime. And so this is why he sends out for the massacre of the holy innocents, and he has all the children born to and under murdered, because he knew that time and history, heaven and earth were colliding. The foreigners knew, the Jews knew. All of this is a reminder for us as we ponder the first week of Advent, that first Advent candle representing hope, also the prophet's candle. That for first century Palestine, they had hope. They believed in the coming of the Messiah. This is why Mary, although difficult and confused by the message of an angel who ushered in the announcement that she was to conceive a son, who ushered in the announcement to Saint Joseph, the circumstances of the Blessed Virgin Mary's conception. That's why we have angels decorating our homes this time of year. They prepare us for Christ. They bring us the message and the good news of Christ. Mary had hope. She was prepared to receive this message. But what does it mean for us to have hope? I think a lot of times we think of hope as just being optimistic. I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful. You could almost interchange optimism and being hopeful. In today's culture. Yeah, I'm optimistic. You could even think about how we take risks. We start businesses. We go out for an interview. Any number of things that we do in day-to-day life. We stand on a clifftop and dive into 20 feet water. We take risks. In a sense, I think sometimes people think that hope is taking risks and it turning out okay. Almost blind chance. Hey, I'll just throw it out there. But do you recognize that hope is a theological virtue? One of the three theological virtues. Faith, hope, and charity. One of my favorite books, and this one is particularly poignant because it ponders from a philosophical as well as theological perspective, the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. And Joseph Pieper, and if I'm on Instagram holding this up, if you're joining me, you can ask your questions live there now. This book is phenomenal because it dives into the philosophical and theological side of hope on a full section of it. And he talks at one point about hope is this balance between magnanimity and humility, of being a magnanimous person, good, generous, and we could unpack magnanimity more, but this kind of balance between grandeur and humility. And I think that it's very profound for us to ponder that hope is total dependence on God. It's not just blind optimism. It's humility before the heavenly throne. But it's being a magnanimous person, a good, generous, kind, great person. To not have smallness, but to have a sense of grandeur by the person you are, the good that you do, the quality of your character. Now, Christ is the actual foundation of our hope. That's what makes it not blind optimism, chance, or even risk. But in a culture where we tend to struggle with despair, this can be kind of hard. We don't know what hope is without Christ. And I think this is why it's important for us to remember during this Advent season, as we take this retreat, that Advent is a reminder that we are pilgrims. We are not made for this earth. This is the time where God created us to prepare to be with him or not be with him. And this is why in Joseph Pieper's book, Faith, Hope, and Love, I like where he talks about two Latin terms, status viator versus status comprehensoris. So what that is a state of being on the way versus a state to comprehend, to encompass, to no longer be on the way. And he talks about how we need to think of ourselves more so as pilgrims on the way, on a journey, versus no longer being on the way and kind of being where we're supposed to be in our resting place. I think that this despair culture that we tend to live in, this hopeless culture that we tend to live in, is because people are looking around, they're saying, is this all there is to life? I want out. In fact, many are taking a way out. They think that they're resting on what they comprehend, on what's encompassing them on this earth. They think they've arrived there. Some think they haven't, so they've turned to transhumanism, trying to upload their brain and to go beyond the material world. They're looking for God, but they're missing the point. They're searching for false hope. They're taking a risk. They're being optimistic that there could be another way to the afterlife. But the pilgrim people of Israel, of first century Palestine, they were anticipating the promised Messiah. How can we be pilgrim people today? By being in a state of grace, being in Christ's church, and preparing to meet him this Advent. I had a question that came up on Instagram just now from Latin Mass Latina, and the question was, can you talk about the penance aspect of Advent? Many people aren't aware of that. And yes, this Advent season is a time of preparation and penance. And this has to do with going to confession, preparing ourselves to be worthy to receive our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, preparing to receive him when he receives us at our death, at our particular judgment, preparing for the end time, the second coming of Christ. All of this is so important. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It's a time of preparation and penance. And this is why we have to root sin out of our lives. We have to turn to reconciliation. This is why it's a reminder, if you have not already gotten into the practice of doing so, to do a nightly examination of conscience. Make this a part of your evening prayer routine. If you don't have a prayer routine, start one. And if you do have one, make sure that an examination of conscience is at the heart of that prayer routine. Because that's where you prepare to say, okay, here is the bad habit. Here is the sin, venial or mortal, that I may be struggling with. And let me identify the opposite virtue. Let me pray for the gift of this virtue. Let me do my penance that the church has given me, that I'm being prescribed by my priest who acts in persona Christi when I go to reconciliation, where my sins are completely blotted out, healed by the blood of the Lamb. This is the significance of recognizing the importance of that. Why do we have hope? Why is that first candle of Advent representing hope and at the very beginning of this liturgical season that the church has carved out and is saying, listen, pay attention? Because we have hope in Christ, in the mercy of Christ and the love of Christ. We have faith in Christ. We are turning and looking toward eternity with Christ. This is why we have that Advent wreath and that circle. It's so significant to look at this continuous circle that recognize that we are made for eternity. We're not made just to remain here on earth. And this should lead us into joyful anticipation of the coming of Christ and the Eucharist and Christmas and our particular judgment. This is why I recommend books such as Preparation for Death for reading this Advent season, for us to take more seriously sin in our lives, to root it out. This is why I think that book is so fantastic. I read it last year, and it's titled The Incarnation, Birth, and Infancy of Jesus Christ by St. Alphonsus Liguori as well. These help us to take seriously the significance of Christ's coming, the need for the separation from sin, and for us to allow the light to shine in the darkness of our own lives, and to live in that light and shine for others. Don't just put Christmas lights up. Be that light that Christ is bringing into the world this season. This is Timmy from Trending with Timmy. Tuesday, I'm joined by the author of Screen Strong Solutions, How to Free Your Children from Addictive Screen Habits. This is important in our homes with the increase in addiction and use of technology. We'll talk about everything from self-control, moderation, and boundaries in the home. And let's be real, not just for kids, but even for ourselves as adults. Join me daily at 6 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app.